Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
This is episode 152. We talk with Chef Laura Agnew. Welcome to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and today I am by myself. Well, I shouldn't say by myself, but my lovely co-host, Aaron, he's out for a couple days. Couldn't pass up the opportunity to make a trip down to Union Bay. I have this amazing opportunity today to sit out with Chef Laura Agnew from As You Like It Catering and chat a little bit about her, what she's doing down here in Union Bay and how she got into the food industry. And I was laughing as I was driving down here because I realized she's the triple threat here for our podcast, because not only is she has a farm here, but she's got catering going as a chef, and then she's also doing products alongside. So I think we'll just have a few moments with her and we'll talk about some of those products. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I had my yoga class
this morning. I'm all loose and relaxed.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's the best way to do these podcasts, when you're nice and relaxed. So let's start out. How did you get into the food industry? Like, where did you start?
I started cooking at home. My grandmother used to spend the weekends with us quite often, and I would get up and bake with her. You know, mashing the banana for the banana bread. And then as I got older, I would just open the cookbook and say, oh, wow, that looks good, and whip something up for breakfast. So my parents would get up and I'd have, you know, cream puffs with vanilla custard and all ready to go for breakfast.
Oh, that sounds great.
Anyway, and then I used to ask if I could cook dinner, you know, come about 12.
Oh, really?
And just kind of went from there. So when it came time for college, I was also very interested in horses. And I was interested in going down to Kentucky to learn how to train harness racing horses.
Dad
had a few of those with some partners. And my father looks at me and says, Laura, to do that, you need to be in the barn at 5 a.m. You are not a morning person. Perhaps you should go into cooking. And so he said, try it for a year. If you don't like it, then we'll look into the horses. So anyway, I never looked back.
Kind of snowballed from there for you.
It just went from there. Yeah.
Excellent.
So I did my college in Windsor, Ontario, where I grew up. And then I started my apprenticeship at the Hilton that opened shortly thereafter. And then I moved to Toronto and spent 12 odd years in Toronto cooking around. And yeah.
And so what brought you out to the West Coast here?
Well, I like the ocean. I came out here to visit a friend. I did some French immersion school in Trois-Rivières. My roommate was from, grew up in Nelson and was living in Victoria or Vancouver, I guess. So I came out to visit her, and we came to visit her mom in Victoria, and I fell in love and just wanted to be out here. And when it was time to move from home, my parents convinced me to move to Toronto first, not be so far away.
Right.
And anyway, when I got married, my husband grew up in Edmonton, and he traveled to the island all the time, or to BC with their family. And so anyway, we got married and we packed up a U-Haul and drove across the country and stored all our stuff at a friend's place who had just moved back here. And then we went traveling for 2.5 years. So it took us a few more years to get back out here, because we went back to Ontario, worked, got some more money, bought a VW.
Right on.
And then we drove, spent about 3.5 months driving across Canada.
Oh, that sounds
fun. Yeah. So then we settled in Brentwood Bay for years, and I worked down there, and then Victoria, and now we're in the Comox Valley. 9 years.
9 years in the Comox Valley. So let's talk a little bit about your three ventures here. I don't know which one you want to start about with first. Do we want to go with your catering or some of your products?
How it kind of started, I started a product line at one of the restaurants I worked at. I made the Chiang Mai hot sauce was a sauce that I made to accompany pad thai and Thai crab cakes. People started sticking their heads in the restaurant asking if they could buy a bottle of that sauce. So
isn't
we were
that how it always starts.
Yeah. So we're grabbing whatever empty bottles are around and cleaning them out and filling them up. And then the owner of the restaurant went over. She was in Vancouver, so she picked up some nicer bottles and we started filling those. And then I moved on somewhere else for the winter season and got pregnant. And so when I was on maternity leave, I created the Chipotle barbecue sauce and then started doing the farmers markets.
Oh, okay.
And then my sister said, well, why don't you recreate this tunnel barbecue sauce? It was a sauce from Windsor, Ontario, where I grew up. And it was a restaurant that was there from the 40s.
Oh,
and we all loved it. Chicken and rib place. And so they did a dry rub and then they served this sauce on the side. So I recreated that. Anyway, it just kind of, I kept adding to it. I had picked up this recipe for curd. And so I had my different flavored curds there. And I used to sell baking and all sorts of things. And then so that became a sideline because then, of course, I went back to work. And then on weekends, every Saturday at the Moss Street Market and every Thursday night out at Sydney and James Bay Market and then craft fairs. And so I'd be cooking and at another catering company.
Wow.
And so catering at nights, cooking during the day, sauces on the side. Taking care of children. And when I had my second one, the same thing. I kind of went, took time off work and I just worked part-time for a while. And then but I always kept the sauces going.
Right.
And then when I moved out here, I wanted to try to make it more of a full-time job.
Perfect.
And I moved, and so started at the farmer's market and then used that as my way of marketing to people that I'm a chef and so forth. And
just getting that product.
Yeah. And then it eventually kind of came around. So now the catering is quite good and it's hard to find time to get the sauces out there.
It's funny how that snowballs.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I've always wanted property. So when we were looking, it took us a good 10, 11 months to find a piece of property that we liked up here.
Now, you were saying when I came here that you started looking in Cumberland.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Cumberland. I loved the feel of it. And but there wasn't very many big pieces of property. And another big thing was we had chickens in Victoria. And they were like my kids' pets. And so we found out that can't have chickens in Cumberland or Comox or Courtney. So then it was like, okay, well.
Kind of limits where you can go.
And then our realtor said, you know, the nicest piece of property in the valley is here, but the house is kind of too small for you. And I said, well, I'd like to see it anyway. So we came here and it was, you know, a beautiful September afternoon and the trees were full of apples and the grapes and it was just gorgeous. And I really liked the house. And yeah, it was kind of small. It was about the same size as the one we were trying to upgrade from.
Right.
But it had a basement. So we put a bedroom down there for our son. And that was that. We came to look at it a good 4 or 5 times before we finally decided that this is where we wanted to be. Because every time we'd come up, we'd say, can we look at that house again? And finally
just
this has got to be it.
Pulled the trigger and got in there. Yeah. Well, and it's a beautiful area up here. Like, I mean, I grew up in this area. I was a Royston boy.
Okay.
And then Blaine, who started the podcast with me, just lived down the street here, just on McLeod Road. And I just remember it was like so beautiful just to go over to his place and just sit on his deck and you have this gorgeous view looking across the bay and you see Tree Island Sandy Island, if you look at it on a map. But, you know, like, and just get us going on these little adventures in the area. And so, yeah, it's I can understand how you fell in love with this area. And
yeah.
To have a little farm up here is quite amazing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. How large is the farm?
It's just shy of 4 acres.
Okay.
And so I have about a quarter acre as a vegetable garden and herbs and few fruit trees in there, and then we have chickens, ducks, and new this year, goats.
Goats. Oh, you got into goats.
Yeah.
How is that?
It was a surprise why I was away and on a little trip with into Italy. My husband decided to buy these 4 goats, so we had 3 ewes and the billy, and Anyways, now we have four little kids because they've all birthed. And so it's really fun to watch. And
right.
Up and coming in a few weeks, I'm taking a cheese making course. So
excellent.
We'll be making some goat cheese. So, and I love goats, goat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Living in Toronto, I had a lot of Jamaican friends and Jamaican restaurants around with the good goat curry and just delicious.
I was amazed to find out that goat is the number one consumed meat in the world.
Well, I guess it makes sense because, yeah, when you're traveling, that's goats are everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
So, and it's not really a big staple in North American dishes at all, but I've always had a keen interest in sort of getting into trying some and making some recipes out of it.
Well, we just had, the Billy is no more. He's now in the freezer. Yeah. So we had the chops and we marinated them and they're, you know, it's milder than lamb. You know, people think it's a goat's going to be a really strong flavor because they can be very strong smelling, but it was delicious. So
yes.
Sorry, my husband's doing work.
That's all right. It's a working farm.
That's
here's
right.
the proof.
And then we've raised pigs. So we had three pigs processed in the spring. And I love playing around with that, making my own prosciutto and head cheese and sausages and bacon and ham and ham hocks and all that sort of stuff.
Wonderful.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's really good. So the Chefs Association is putting on the charcuterie course coming up. So
right.
I'm going to go to that just to see what else I can learn because you can always learn more.
Yeah.
And
there's some great talent there to probably show you a few little tricks. That
yeah. That's
realize.
What I figured. So yeah. So I've got four prosciuttos aging.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then a freezer full of bacon, and so it's cool. It's
so it's a
really
full running farm. So is most of your stuff on your farm? Is that for your own consumption?
Well, the pig we've sold like half pigs and things like that before, and
okay.
But we do it mostly for ourselves, and then the duck is we raise for sale mostly.
Okay.
Yeah, we do eat it ourselves, and we have the duck eggs and that, but. The duck meat, and I make duck confit leg with the legs,
oh,
and
delicious.
Duck pate, and then when I have a little extra of the rendered duck fat, I sell that because there's always people looking for that too.
Yeah, and what do you use that for?
Well, it's great for cooking, and
yes.
A lot of people, you know, frying up their potatoes and different things, and they say that duck fat is one of the best fats for humans to metabolize.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't actually
And the Muscovies, because they're a tree duck,
right,
are very low in fat. So they are only 2% fat. So they're less fat than chicken, which most people wouldn't realize. And it's a dark meat. Like the breasts
yeah.
are a red, red meat. You cook to medium rare. And
well, I love duck.
Yeah, me too.
And it was funny when my daughter was about three, she fell in love with it. And it was funny. Like we would go out to a restaurant and order duck and she would literally take it off your plate.
Yeah. It's fun having foodie kids.
It is. She kind of fell off it, but I think she's coming back again.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, like duck is such an amazing. And I just wanted to bring out that, like just that rendered off fat off
mm-hmm.
of it, and just cooking anything in it. Even, you know, beef fat, you know, pork.
Yeah.
Pork fat, all those things just to cook in, just so much flavor.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's most of that is better for us than butter.
Yeah.
Which we eat all the time, right?
I know we're convinced to go to these low fat and these healthy margarines and stuff, and now we're like, wait, these things aren't working at all.
No, they don't like our bodies at all.
No, that's true.
Our bodies don't like them. Yeah, and then we have our heritage ducks or chickens, sorry, and so people love our eggs because they're all multicolored.
Oh,
and so yeah, I just open up a dozen on my table at the farmer's market and.
And they're gone
and
like
they're
that.
Gone like in a second. And they're like, why are they? Especially this weekend with it being Easter. You know, it's like, I always say, see, you don't even have to color them. They're all done for you.
Ready for you. That's great.
It's the blue and the green and the Araucanas and the Americanas. And
Now we should jump onto your catering.
Okay.
Because what kind of catering are you doing?
Everything from small dinners for 2 and 4 to weddings for... you know, 200 and 300. And yeah, so I just did the North Island College, their tourism and hospitality. They're a big fundraiser, so they did a wine and cheese event. So we did appies and platters and things like that on last Friday. So, you know, my business name is As You Like It because I like to speak with the customers and find out what they're wanting and what their ideas are. And so I'm always, you know, revamping new menus and coming up with fun ideas. So take me a little bit longer to respond because I'm trying to be creative.
Right, and give them exactly what they want.
But it gives them what they're wanting, and, you know, it makes it a little bit easier to work on their budget. And
how are you for staffing? Like, has that ever been an issue for you? Or?
Staffing is always an issue because, you know, I'll get someone to help a few days a week and things like that, and then come in when the big events are coming. And just when they know exactly what they're meant to do, then they get that full-time job somewhere else. Or move away, or, you know, go tree planting and things like right. that. So, but, you know, I have a, now that I've been here for a number of years, I've got a kind of a good set of clientele, but there's definitely issues where I'll send out to the Chefs Association and things like that, like, help, you know, if someone phones in sick all of a sudden, when you're a small business and, you know, I do most of the things by myself or with a few other hands. It can be stressful at times when someone's sick. I'm like, no, you can't be sick today.
Yeah. I need you today. I know that feeling too well. So.
I bet. Yeah.
And so you have your own commercial kitchen on site? Is that the...
Not as yet. That's your dream. Like, our biggest thing is the septic, because we're on septic here. And so we'd have to expand the septic to put a catering kitchen in.
Okay.
Especially with the processing, because so much water... sterilizing jars and bottles and things. But I lease out the kitchen of the Union Bay Hall down the bottom of the hill. So it's lovely because it's nice and close. And
a few minutes away.
I've got some good decent storage there, so I don't have to haul everything back and forth all the time. And
nice.
Yeah, and it's a lovely kitchen. Windows.
Right.
It's not often in our catering kitchen. So.
Or any kitchen.
Yeah, or any
kitchen.
That's kind of
kitchen. The last thing in a kitchen. They're like, maybe we should put a window here.
Yeah, and being that it's the community hall, there's lots of things going on, so I don't feel lonely working by myself. You know, there's line dance lessons going on and aerobics and then ball playing. So there's always someone sticking their head in to see what I'm up to. And
I guess you're a big part of the Union Bay community. Is that?
Well, I'm on the board, so I help organize their super lunches, they call it, for their craft fairs. And they have their fall supper and just after Thanksgiving that there's a big fundraiser for, and their bay days and things like that. So I'll help them get all their volunteers and work the kitchen and make the clam chowder, and another lady makes the other soup. And
oh, nice.
And then we sell sandwiches and things like that. So that's my little thing on the board that I help out with.
Being involved with that.
Yeah.
Now, this is getting away from you, but it's more about Union Bay. So, like, with the big news that the development is going to go through in town, how are you feeling about that one?
Well, we moved here hoping that it was going to come through at one point, because it had been, you know, in the works for a long time.
It's been a very, I think I moved to town, back to town, for the same reason, because I knew this development was going forward.
And yeah, so for me, I'm quite happy, because, you know, if I can get the kitchen on my property, it would be, you know, nowadays having farms that are places people want to go and drop in on Saturday afternoons or whatever. And because I do foods that I sell at Weinberg's Good Food down at Buckley Bay. I sell different takeout foods and soups and different things there. And
that's an amazing store. We did a podcast with them in the beginning, and it was just like,
Leah's
every time
awesome.
I go by that store, I'm like, it's such a small store, but everything is there. Like, stuff I'm
and
not
she's
even
got
thinking
so
of.
Interesting things to look at and to buy. I do a lot of my shopping there actually for gifts.
No, it's a great spot.
Yeah.
And if you can't find it, there's a seafood shop right beside it. So you're like, it's a great location. So kind of hidden.
Mm-hmm. But as far as like I think it'll be good for Union Bay to get more business in, and because if we can get the little shops down in the Bay community going, and maybe not so many people have to move away to find work, and
just bringing that all together.
And they're talking about getting a school back here again eventually. And of course, the fire hall's in desperate need of a new location, which they're giving them. And I think it's going to be good.
I sound like it's a win-win. Yeah. I know some people
there might
are,
be some more drama to be had. But,
I imagine there always is.
Yeah, I think it's part of Union Bay.
People are just scared of change sometimes.
Yeah. But overall, I think it'll be good for us.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And I guess last of all, we should really get into some of your products that you're selling here. Like we did mention some of the barbecue sauces and that.
So I have, the Chiang Mai, which is definitely my best seller. It's a sweet chili garlic, one of those everything anything. The Chipotle barbecue, the signature sauce, the Ontario takeoff. And then I have my three types of curds. I have different chutneys, a mango, which is a Southeast Asian style. Got a nice little bite, a rhubarb walnut. And so most of the rhubarb is grown on the farm, and the walnuts come from Anne at just over in Courtney here.
Right.
And then I have an onion fennel marmalade and a cranberry apple chutney, and the apples are off our farm, and then the cranberries are from Ladysmith usually. And so they're local. And then I do a line of a bunch of soups depending on what's in season.
Right.
Salad dressings. So I have one, the quince red wine vinaigrette. It's kind of my winter dressing.
I love quince, so.
Yeah. And then the two different herb ones in the summer once the fresh herbs are growing. So an Italian roast garlic, and then I call it a green goddess, which is just about six or seven different types of fresh herbs and apple cider vinaigrette.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I grow quince on my property, so I make quince jelly as well.
So a lot of your products are from local ingredients and
as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. So if not off our farm, from the farms in the valley for sure.
Wonderful.
Or my friends at the market.
So what's your number one seller?
Chiang Mai for the sauces, mango chutney for the chutneys, and then the green goddess, I think, with the dressing. And then for soups, it would probably be the aloo gobi, which is my favorite East Indian veggie dish, cauliflower and potato, which I make into a soup. And then I have the curried apple and squash soup. So those are two favorites.
Those are the big sellers
big
for
ones,
you.
Yeah. And then there's borscht and the tomatoes, you know, with all the yummy tomatoes from our area. And I roast them and then freeze them. And so that way I'm able to make it. And then Fiesta Farms peppers, same thing. I'll roast them and freeze them so I can make that soup throughout the year. And
it's just amazing.
Yeah, so I've got lots of freezers.
I was going to say, it's amazing how many products you're using, like just from the small little region, and how many different sauces and flavors you got coming out there. That's amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes from making something for a catering and then people really going crazy for it. And like I've always had people commenting on my salad dressings through caterings. And so that's why I eventually thought, okay, well, fine, I'll start making some and selling them. And so, yeah, they're really good. Like three people came up to me asking me, when's the green goddess coming out again? And I'm like, soon, the herbs are starting to grow. It's a few more weeks, you know, this frost every single week.
Right.
Every single night in the last 2 weeks is not helping. But
of course.
Yeah, so it's nice because I have quite a round range of things to sell, so there's something for everybody generally.
Well, and if people are looking for these products, where can they get them from you?
Well, I sell them at several stores down in Victoria. I sell them at Edible Island here, Royston Roasting, Island Bison sells them in their store, the Seaview Game. They sell them throughout their season when their store's open. Weinberg's Good Food, she sells lots of my things. Where else? The butcher shop in Cumberland. And then up in Campbell River, we have JK. I always forget the initials. The new meat shop up in Campbell River. And then St. Jean's Cannery sells it in Willow's Market.
Okay.
So
pretty much
a lot of
places.
Yeah, and then in Bowser, there's the Salish Sea. She sells it down there. Yeah, so.
So you've got most of Vancouver Island
most
covered?
Most of the island, yeah. I haven't gone much further north than... Oh, and Powell River, they sell some of my curds over there, too.
It's amazing how busy you are.
Yeah, and there's about 8 stores in Victoria that sell it. All the market stores, the Red Barn stores. And Niagara Grocery, Finest at Sea.
So do you have any plans for the future?
Well, I
other
want,
than a commercial kitchen.
Yeah,
a
commercial
property.
Kitchen on my property would be awesome with a bottling section, because that would save me a ton of time.
I imagine.
And I'd like to get my products into more stores.
Okay.
I had it over in a store in the mainland, but shipping was ridiculous. It would be nice to be able to get a few stores, and then it would make it worthwhile to get it over there.
I found that's always one of the biggest challenges with producing is shipping. And it's amazing, whoever I talk to, it's always like, how do I get this from point A to point B?
Yeah, because, you know, it costs a fortune to get the bottles just from Richmond to here. And then, you know, then you fill them up and then you got to send them back. It's like, oy, oy, oy.
Adds a bit of traffic to it.
Because I've shipped them cases like across Canada and into the States sometimes. And so maybe eventually get them going further. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing we were talking when you got in here about going to some food shows and that to showcase your product.
Yeah, so I'm going down to the Cheese and Meat Show in May 12th in Victoria to showcase the three main sauces, because those are the ones that are sold at most of the stores. So, yeah, see if that doesn't kind of perk up the sales in Victoria again and get some new stores interested. There's supposed to be about 750 people there, so
should be some good show.
And they're going to be selling. They have a little pop-up store, so I can be selling it there too. So hopefully I reach a lot more people.
Hit a bigger market.
Get her moving some more. That's nice.
And catering, if someone is looking into some catering from you, or maybe into getting some of the products you got here on the farm, some of those eggs, you've got the farmer's market.
I'm at the farmer's market pretty much every Saturday, unless there's a conflict with caterings. Or food shows.
Or all those things.
Then I am there. But
there is an opportunity for people to come down and taste some of your sauces there, too.
I have all my things pretty much for sample every week, so that's a good way. And I can give you all sorts of ideas on how to use them. And then, I've got my website, so you can look on there. And I have a few recipes, trying desperately to upgrade that website, but you know,
it's a lot of work.
Time. I know
it's hard to run a business and produce all this food and then do social media and websites and all that.
I really need a secretary.
Yeah.
So anyone out there that wants to be a secretary for me.
perfect call. Let's get an email address, and when you get a chance to actually do that.
So it's Union Bay Catering. .ca. You can go on there and get my email.
And all the information is
there for you. All the information is there. And of course, I have a Facebook site, As You Like It, Products and Catering.
Okay. And thank you so much for sitting down and inviting me out to your house.
Oh, my pleasure. We'll have to go for a little tour.
I am looking forward to doing
a little
tour.
And then Jonathan and I are in the food cook-off and at the seafood festival.
I almost forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up. We're in a bit of a competition here to see who can top the best seafood in the Comox Valley.
I get to compete against the three guys.
No, I'm really excited that you're coming there. So
I think it'll be fun.
Basically, we're at 40 knots,
mm-hmm.
and we're both doing two dishes each,
appetizer. Small plates or something. Yeah.
So a total of 8 plates for everyone who comes.
Yeah,
and
May 8th, right?
Yes.
No, June 8th.
Just before the week before Shellfish Festival.
Yeah.
Or the big weekend of Shellfish Festival. So we get the.
Yeah, because I do a lot of coordinating for the Shellfish Festival. So.
That's a big event here in the Comox Valley.
Yeah,
lots going on.
Six, including the one we're in, 6 events that I'll be coordinating or cooking for. So
nice.
Should be a busy June.
I feel like I'm not putting enough effort in this year. I might have to step my game up a little bit here. All right. Well, Laura, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting
pleasure.
With me.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, it's great. I've been meaning to get you on for a while, so I'm glad we actually got a chance to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So
good time of year.
Yes. And I'd just like to thank our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. Thanks.
If we haven't covered something here that, you know, please get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us in a lot of places.
We always love to hear feedback from our listeners, and especially from you, just for you to give us a little
2 cents of what, how you feel about the podcast, what you'd like to see.
Maybe something we missed that we didn't cover that you want more details on.
Yeah, because I'd like just to say, if there's anyone out there that is doing this currently or is about to get into this or knows someone who's doing one of these few things, we would love to talk to you. So I'm looking for anyone who's in a restaurant, who's opening up a new restaurant and getting going.
Yeah,
new caterers out there. I know people always get into catering.
Yeah.
It always moves on to something else, but it's really nice to meet up with these people and find out what they're offering and what they can give to people. New producers, which is always great because there's been so many wonderful people that we've run into in this time that have grown their businesses, and it's really neat to see them start off from just really small things and how they progress. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to know their story of how they got into it. And don't forget, farmers.
Yeah.
Nothing better than knowing the people that are working with the lands, or even in our case, in the water. Yeah. Those farmers out there, we'd love to talk to you. And of course, we're always into new events. There's so much happening in this community with that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we never get a chance to talk about. And then, of course, if you're a food group or a foodie just in general, we'd love to talk to you and find out what some of your favorite foods are.
Yeah, even if you do, like, you know, those sort of foodie dinner groups, we would love to talk to you, like, want to know about your dinner groups and get some ideas, get some talking going about what's going on out there in the smaller venues, not just the big venues.
And of course, we're putting up some recipes, some audio recipes for people to follow along. So if you're interested in any of that, we've got that all here at the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far, all of our sponsors. As you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
If you could just send us an email at theedibleValley@gmail.com. You can get us at Twitter at Edible Valley, Facebook at the Edible Valley Podcast. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.